I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we are coming to you live from the world-famous AfterBuzz TV studios in sunny Los Angeles, California.
Woo-woo!
And if we got a show for you. But before we get started with all the dust-ups and fisticuffs, let me introduce the amazing panel that gets to sit with me here tonight. First, all the way to the far, far left. He is the international super scout and the law doctor, bringing the wrestling knowledge from all over the globe. Ladies and gentlemen, let's hear it for Roger Corral.
I'm here for the fisticuffs.
And next to him, she is the indie super fan, checking out all those wrestlers that you don't realize you're going to love in the years to come. Ladies and gentlemen, let's hear it for Anissa Barr.
That's me. I'm an indie mark.
That she is.
And to my immediate left,
he is not an indie
mark. Your eyes are not deceiving you. The Rick Rude of AfterBuzz Wrestling on both shows in one night. He is the hot taking machine. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Jim Alexander.
There's a clone of me on NXT sitting on that awful couch, but.
To be fair, the couch is very awful. Yeah. But
can we get a Rick Rude grind going? All right.
Please don't gift that.
This seat can't handle this. Okay.
Can someone gift that, please?
And hailing from inside the booth, he is the king of the bing, bang, and boom. Ladies and gentlemen, the super producer. Give it up for Josh Alonzo.
Good promo.
That was very lively.
There's problems in a booth. Okay.
Very spirited reaction from
very
Josh.
Spirited. I am very excited to be with you all. How we doing?
That's not me. How we doing tonight?
Yay!
Let's get the dynamite going. And speaking of dynamite, there we go.
Light the fuse. Feel the boom. I am your benevolent host, Fancy Jack Farmer, and let's not hold up any longer. What a cracking episode, folks. What did you think? Overall thoughts.
My favorite episode so far.
Since the beginning of
time.
Yeah, since the beginning, I feel like it was just jam-packed action back-to-back. Every single match was just spot on.
I feel like I'm used to companies not appreciating my viewership, and so I'm grateful that there's a company that does.
Yeah, we deserve better.
That's right.
But, Jim, what did you think?
Here's the thing. Don't you think that certain companies put on the best shows when they're in their home base, in a sense, or their backyard, Atlanta, Georgia? I mean, so many of the originals were there from back in the WCW days. I thought we saw some incredible stuff, and they really laid it on the line tonight. I feel like even the wrestlers brought it. You saw Cody bring it. It felt like a pay-per-view. It really felt like it had that pay-per-view feel to it throughout.
Yeah, I'm not one for hyperbole, but this may have been the greatest single wrestling show I've ever seen in the history of
wrestling show.
When did we get Tony Schiavone on set?
Wow. It was a phenomenal show.
Wow.
And let's just talk about it, guys. That final match, Wardlow versus Cody. So much amazing stuff happened in that match. Roger, walk me through it. What did you think watching this steel structure and these two guys go at it?
Well, first of all, the cage was great. It had a little WCW feel, like a little dinky but cool and different, kind of like a mini Hell in a Cell.
Yeah. That's what Jim was saying that backstage.
Totally. Yeah, it was cool. And then I think to trust Wardlow to be able to play that kind of match with Cody, I think that was great. Cody keeps getting busted up in the face. I don't know what that's about. There's a lot going on here.
Yeah.
We saw Arn Anderson kind of dabble a bit on, you know, the usual shenanigans on turning on a Rhodes.
Right.
So that was interesting, man.
Lots of really cool stuff. Speaking of the Arn Anderson spot, it was a callback, I think, to War Games when the NWO faced the Four Horsemen and Kurt Hennig slammed the door on Ric Flair. And of course, Cody, being the Ric Flair, bleeding every time we see him.
Is it too much, though? Does he need to tone it down? Does it come to a point where it becomes a weekly thing and it's almost comedic in a way? And it does, because blood is for a reaction, right?
Not for fun.
That usually means you are part of a brutal battle. You've gone through a lot of things. It's reserved for big time matches. I get it for tonight because it's a special match. But we can't have him weekly just get, I mean, either he's getting lashed or he's getting busted open or something's going on. Like, Cody, like, this man is, like, how much pain tolerance does he have?
Okay. I think he forgets he's the boss.
Yeah.
He doesn't need
you don't have to do this, man.
Right.
He doesn't have to do that.
You're one for blood, Anissa. Do you like him bleeding all the time?
Sure, why not? I mean, it doesn't bother me, you know.
Yeah.
I think, in a way, I don't mind the blood, obviously, but I feel like this match, it was well needed because they were in a cage. But I hoped that we were able to see Warlow bleed a little bit or something. But
you wanted more blood.
Well, I mean,
why is it always Cody? What was that?
That terrified me.
My ears are bleeding now.
Everyone's bleeding.
Yeah, you had mentioned Wardlow. To me, he just comes across as a very old school big man. If you think about like the old days of big men, a very cool throwback. Jim, what did you think seeing? We got to see Wardlow for the first time in the cage. What did you think of this behemoth?
I think it was a perfect spot for him to be putting Cody on the main stage in a cage match like this. I thought it was a big moment of the company trusting in him. Right? Cody's proven. He doesn't need to prove to anyone. He's proven in different companies and all, but this was a big moment for Wardlow. I feel like that's really trusting someone to put in a newbie, in a sense, on a big spot with Cody. And I think he did a great job because that moonsault, hey, it was big on him to get Cody, too, to be in a proper spot, too. And that's what made it kind of beautiful looking because Cody did his, man. But he was there to kind of.
Tell us about that moonsault because we were watching that together. And
it was just. Yeah. We couldn't believe it, right? We all, like, popped, like, there. Because, like, it was so quick. Usually at moonsaults, they stand on top and get the crowd react of the cage. And Cody just went for it immediately. And it kind of surprised because it was so quick. And it just felt so abrupt. And when it happened, you couldn't react until after the fact of it, you know?
Right.
And it was pulled off just flawlessly by everyone involved.
Yes.
And right into a pin, right? There's no sloppy moments in that. I just thought it was a perfect execution and moment, and it really sold the whole night right at the end. It was perfection.
I'm always surprised how, like, they closed the show exactly at the end of the running time. Like, they're like, they got everything in there.
It was just flawless.
He didn't look back. Either.
No,
he crawled up there and he just like whoop. Like, I mean, most of the time, Jim, as you said, usually they're up there for a second. They do like the kind of the look back.
They almost look like, should I actually do this? You know, Cody had no reservation. That kind of showed you. And the thing is, he went down so quick. Usually, a moonsault like that takes a little bit. You can see him kind of falling in the air. And you're like, you know that thing.
Yeah.
But that one was it was lightning quick. I thought that was even more impressive about it. How quickly he executed and how quickly he was going through the air, you know, onto the floor. It was awesome.
It was absolutely stunning. They also did a quick video package earlier in the night. And Anissa, you had some comments about video packages in AEW that I'm hoping you could share for us real quick. What did you think of the video packages?
I liked the video packages more than I like certain companies' video packages because it's a story within the story. It doesn't just show two people cutting promos back and forth. It's bringing people involved. They brought Taz in. They brought Arn Anderson in. It felt more personal, and that's something that I really like about AEW, is that they, with their promos, they bring people within, around their circle, and the way they edit it is just like, it's not a lot of filters. It's just a little bit here and there. Yeah. Just whoever does the editing, good job on
that. It must have been a documentary filmmaker.
It does.
It definitely feels like you're watching a mini documentary every time they cut a promo, because there's a backstory. There's the set up to what's going on and the kind of the open-endedness of every promo. And I feel like that takes some, actually, like a story arc. They have a story arc to every promo, which is, it's not just like, here's music and fancy effects. Like you said, there's a story being told in a quick snippet of time. That's someone that was a filmmaker or had some kind of film background that's producing
this. And that's hard to pull off. I mean, how many times I've shown wrestling clips to like people that aren't wrestling fans, and it's corny sometimes. Like, you know, it's hard to pull off.
And I mean, as someone who edits videos, that is something that I want to achieve sometime, because that is so hard to do.
Yeah.
To make it look like a movie trailer.
Right, and I, as you guys, Jim, especially as you had alluded to it, like it really draws the emotion out instead of it just being like the catchphrases in one
line. It's points of view from others, right? You have people who kind of tell the stories on air to commentators in a sense or to figureheads telling the story and setting up, which they do great. They do this on a nightly basis by telling the commentary in the ring. You have someone setting up instead of doing it to a music video song. Like, let's just do the promo the length of this music video, right?
Right,
and until it ends and then have the high spot and high move. No, this is a story in a documentary form being told, and it really sells the feud and the people involved in it.
Yep.
Absolutely. And speaking of selling things and good video packages, Jim, could you go ahead and sell some of our video packages here for AfterBuzz?
Well, I'm no filmmaker, but you nerds know that I am good at telling you how to subscribe and this stuff. You're watching AEW After Show. You saw Cody off the top rope. The least you can do to keep on getting this content, us talking about it, is click on that subscribe button and tell us what you thought about that and everything else. We want to know your thoughts. We go back. We interact with you guys. I know Jack's always there responding to everything. Tell us what you thought about the show. Interact with us. Always like. We like to get them up, like the likes. We have a benchmark we want to reach right here.
Right.
And if you're listening in the car, pull over. Don't do this. There could be cops driving up. Right. Pull over. Give us a 5-star rating. Comment more. And definitely subscribe to that podcast version of it, too. So you have AEW with you wherever you are. Car, home, in the gym. You need to be hearing and telling everyone.
And definitely appreciate the mention of pulling.
You know.
Definitely appreciate pulling over, because it would be terrible if you were in the middle of leaving us a 5-star review and something happened and you weren't able to finish it and hit confirm.
I was nervous where that was going, man.
Shout out also to everyone in the chat. We've got Charlene, DG, Dang MQ, Dylan Matthews, Eric Clark, External Shockwave, Joe Surfla. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. But Joseph Boza, Peter Davies, SwitchFan94, and real quick fun announcement to my grandpa who's watching. It's your birthday. Happy birthday, Grandpa Joe.
Grandpa Farmer.
Let's see, sometimes you get to shout out the family, so shout out there.
Pacific Northwest is rolling tonight.
The PNW?
Yeah.
Big week.
Speaking of, I don't know, transitions, we're going to...
This is a very smooth one
whenever I say speaking of, you know a transition's coming.
You're waiting for that party, Grandpa's party.
Yes. So we started the show with a tag team battle royal. You know it's the Mac Militant. Oh, coming to get it on. This was such a fun way to start off this whole show. We had just about every tag team imaginable in the ring all at once. And what I loved about this is that it had the classic rules of 2 feet have to touch once you go over the top rope. But it was a tag team, so both people had to be eliminated, meaning if your partner was eliminated, you weren't necessarily out. The winner getting to get a title shot at Revolution. Lots of stuff happened, but the Young Bucks come out in the end. Anissa, what were some of your favorite parts of the match?
Well, first of all, I just want to say that this is probably one of my favorite types of rumbles. I like the fact that there's an option where if your partner gets out of the ring, you still are able to have that chance. And it also shows how the person can go as a single competitor.
Mm-hmm.
But my favorite part, as probably mine and yours, is when pretty much he super kicks Sammy Guevara.
He murdered Sammy Guevara. And
we witnessed a murder tonight.
We witnessed a murder.
And he didn't bleed. And he didn't bleed.
You should have seen Jax and I reaction. Like, everybody kept staring at us. We're like, you don't understand how freaking crazy that was.
I stood up. I was, it was
flipping tables.
Dude,
but Sammy Guevara have to give Sammy Guevara credit for selling that.
Just absolutely ate it. I dare say it was on par with the legendary HBK Shelton Benjamin
superkick. You are throwing historic
again, I'm not one for hyperbole. It's the single greatest kick ever thrown in the history of mankind. I thought everyone shined here. I thought Butcher and the Blade looked great. The Butcher particularly staring down Luchasaurus.
Oh, Butcher came through, man.
Just messing everybody up. And all sorts of craziness.
Can we agree that I think not TNA, that company's dead, I guess. But AEW has the best sellers, right? In when wrestling.
Yeah, they do.
Like,
yeah,
literally, when you look at Joey Janela, as you look at all these guys, like, just everyone sells so well. And that really brings off, not only at home, it makes you feel, like, more excited. And, you know, they know how to pull off. And I appreciate that in a wrestler, being able to put over other guys and make it look...
Yeah.
You know, every time it makes it look like I said, someone's almost dead, you know, in that sense, which is a hell of a thing. It's a compliment to the wrestler himself who was able to sell like that, you know? And I think that's a big key. And we know the Young Bucks have been notorious for doing that for years, you know, especially in tag team matches. So
it's like a company of Dolph Ziggler's.
Yeah, I was just thinking that. They have one guy. This company has everyone.
It's a very unselfish company. It seems like they're all very much on board with what the overall show is trying to do. And I had read a report where Cody had said that they plan things out 6 months to a year in advance. So I think it's easier to do these things when you know what the end game is.
It's also about ego and jealousy. That plays a lot of guys in the ring we won't see maybe on TV won't want to sell or put someone over or make themselves look bad. It just tells me about this roster, how everyone's in sync, and how when Cody talks about everyone's on board and they're doing it for, like, I believe it because you see it in the matches. When you see other guys putting over other guys making each other look good, you know, and not to just take the shine for themselves, I think that says overall of the health of the company and the camaraderie that's there.
Yeah, and speaking of working together, we have Omega and Hangman, the tag team champions, defending their titles against the Lucha Brothers. And again, I'm not one for hyperbole, but I swear this is the third time in about a month I've said this is one of the best tag team matches I have seen in about as long as I can remember. You know it's the Mad Military. Coming to get it on. So,
you're right. This is like a pay-per-view worthy show, man.
I know. And you think they're complaining in chat. Ooh, I'm not spending $49.99. You got it for free tonight, okay? Stop complaining.
It's insane how top-notch. First off, Phoenix is insane. He is an insane person. Pentagon is insane. Omega's insane. Hangman's insane. Roger, what were you thinking watching this match?
Sounds like an asylum to me.
It locked me up. This is,
I'm gonna put it out there. I think this is the best tag team division in all of wrestling history.
Yeah.
Like, it's
up there.
There's like 10 top groups. And you're right. Like, every tag team match keeps stepping up. Like, I don't know how to evaluate these matches anymore.
Yeah.
Like, this match in itself. And I think we discussed it last week. Omega and Hangman have this weird dynamic where they're not really in sync, but they are.
Right.
Like, they're not really planning things. They're not really a tag team, and yet they are. It works every single week. And so I'm excited to see that dynamic against a tag team that does have experience in the Young Bucks.
Well, it's going to be great, too, because they've been building this subtleness of Hangman wanting to break away from the Elite and Kenny kind of being like, we're friends with the Young Bucks, but we're competitive. And now they have a match at Revolution. Anissa, what are you thinking going into this match? Do you want to see Hangman and Omega retain? Or I know you're a SoCal supporter. Do you want to see the Young Bucks come through?
I do want to see the Young Bucks come through, but I think that Kenny and Hangman will win. And I think they'll have another rematch at Double or Nothing.
You think they're all going to hug at the end?
I know where this is going. This is going. This is Hangman turning on Omega, Young Bucks getting a title, and Double or Nothing. It's going to be Hangman versus Kenny Omega, Double or Nothing.
You know what I hope happens?
Totally happening.
I hope Kenny Omega does the smart thing and realizes his tag team champion partner is more important than some silly friendship he made in Japan. He needs to turn his back on
the
Young
Bucks. Oh, you
want
Kenny to turn?
I want Kenny to say, you know what? Hangman's got the right idea, Young Bucks. I like this guy. Because you know what? The Young Bucks have been saying for years they're the best tag team in the world and they're not the champions, and I don't like it.
How about Triple Turn. You have Kenny.
Triple.
Yeah. No.
Nick Jackson turns on everybody.
Yes. Here we go. Kenny turns on Hangman. And just so Young Bucks can get the title, so they're buddy-buddy. That makes the Young Bucks kind of come off as heels, and then Hangman's the only one left as a face because everyone got a triple turn there, right?
That would actually be interesting because people love Hangman.
And then you would have the Elite. They would be actual... The heels, because we haven't seen Young Bucks really as
heels.
Well,
there's more people in the Elite than just them.
But, I mean, the original friends. They're original friends, this right? Then you can add Cody to that. They're like the original four.
But this company is filled with heels, though. What are we going to be left with if this happens?
It'd be such a good company if they all turn. I love it. I am parking my car in the same garage as Jim Alexander on there.
Yes.
I absolutely love it. I can't wait to see that one.
This is the same guy that suggested the Nightmare Collective was going to continue on.
Yeah, so just they
throwing
do
it out there.
In our hearts. So we had a quick promo from Nyla Rose. She's our new women's champion, already putting a stamp on her spot as the top women's wrestler. We had Statlander come out and challenge her a bit. We also had Big Swole come out and challenge her a little bit. Anissa, how do you think this is going to break down, these three?
So we talked about it, obviously, mm-hmm. while we were watching, and we pretty much thought it's going to be Statlander and Big Swole are going to face for the number one contender and go on to face Nyla Rose. And I do have to give lots of credit to Nyla Rose. I really thought that promo that she cut was great.
Yeah, I agree.
She's a good target.
She is. And if Awesome Kong wasn't doing Glow or wasn't injured, I think them too.
But that would be a hell of a match.
Hell of a good match.
I think that's coming down the
road.
But
I hope we get to see that sometime this year.
I miss Riho.
You miss
already? Already? Wow, that was long.
I agree. Well, I agree. I think Nyla Rose is I think she's exactly what the women's division needs. And before this promo, we had Shanna and Statlander have a match that was absolutely amazing. Mm-hmm. When AEW started, it got a lot of heat for its women's division. I believe that they have put the building blocks in. They have a good women's division.
They have versatility. They have different sizes. They have different styles. I think they have a little bit of anything. There's not everyone looks the same, right? They have each of them, I feel like, actually has some depth of characters too, you know, each individual women's wrestler. But when it comes to Nyla Rose, I think this is finally the setup for a long title hold. She can't drop this. Right. Yeah. This needs to be a long run. I'm talking to like through the summer. This,
oh, wow.
Yeah. Hey, legitimate. I felt Nyla Rose should have won the first ever that the women's title.
A lot of initially.
So it took a while for that to happen. Now we need to see the validation because I felt like that was the individual they wanted to build from the beginning, the women's division around.
Yeah.
Now, finally, after months of it, they're giving the strap. Nyla Rose got to dominate now and throw in a bunch of different competitors. If Awesome Kong can come back, that'll be the major like peak of a feud for her.
Yeah.
But this is where she dominates and just runs through everyone.
I wonder if Nyla Rose will hold the title until Double or Nothing and Awesome Kong returns, because that last year that's where she debuted. And it would be a beautiful thing for her to return as a surprise to face Nyla Rose.
That would be a beautiful thing.
And then ideally Nyla Rose wins so she can...
Whoever wins, I just want to see that match happen.
But do you set up that feud? Do you build the hype or you do it as a surprise?
As somebody, I like surprises.
Okay.
So for me, that would be awesome.
I like to see a build because I think the promos, we talk about AEW promos, they could build some
great promos with that. That's a good point.
I think it's a surprise by having Awesome Kong show up as a surprise, but then you build up to a match.
Yeah, you can do both.
Down the road.
Agree.
And speaking of surprises, sometimes we are surprised with some of the amazing talent we get to see here every week, but they all start somewhere. So that means it's time for one of my favorite segments. It is the Dynamite Highlight with Anissa Barr.
Oh, new music!
The Wednesday Messiah.
Yes! Yes!
Oh, I'm
Anissa,
offended.
Seth Rollins.
I'm offended. Seth Rollins is trash.
Oh, okay.
All right. But who isn't trash is Darby Allin, because he is my highlight of the week. Darby Allin has been wrestling since 2015. He's been – the reason why you guys should like Darby Allin is because he's been – in the he's been in Progress Wrestling, AAA. He's been on Evolve multiple times. If you have the WWE Network, he's been on there wrestling for multiple wrestlers. He also, of course, is in AEW, as we saw tonight. He made his return, Big Pop, which I really, really enjoyed. I was so excited. He also is straight edge, and that's how he lived his lifestyle for so long, because when he was younger, he saw his uncle drunk driving and told himself he would never drink again. There's also a documentary. It's called The Wrestler's Best New Talent in America, and he's part of that, and it really shows more side about Darby Allin and how he got his name. Came from a frontman from the band called Gems, Darby Crash, and the transgressive musician Gigi Allin.
If I can add to this as well, yeah, those two guys are probably the most like crazy prominent vocalist in hardcore, especially Gigi Allin. So
I will say, don't look up any YouTube videos of Gigi Allin.
I mean, Gigi Allin,
just do not.
He's a beast. I wouldn't say beast in a good way, but he's just like a different type of person.
Yeah.
And it definitely fits with the character that Darby Allin is portraying, as well as the Darby Crash persona that he's also emulating as well from the Germs as well. So that's my little tidbit from there.
Wow.
The more you know.
The more you know.
And then also some cool matches I suggest watch to Darby Allin as him versus Nick Gage at GCW, as well as him and Velveteen Dream at Evolve 59.
Ooh.
That would be interesting to look back and see him versus Velveteen Dream at Evolve. He also has some cool matches over in Defy Wrestling, the Pacific Northwest.
Oh, those my God.
Here's the thing about Darby Allin. Would you get rid of all of the face paint, or maybe go both sides of the face paint?
These are the questions we need to know.
This is what I want to know. He seems like a pretty boy from one side of the face, too, so I don't know if you want to get rid of the paint. I would want to see him as the whole skeleton paint.
I feel like you need to have one of those videos where it just shows him from the side, and then he like turns, and you're like,
I like that.
But yeah, he showed up today at the end of a big match, looking like a vampire rock star, skating down and continuing his rivalry with Sammy Guevara. I didn't realize the Inner Circle had magical powers. Brought Sammy Guevara back to life after this scene, for this